In high school volleyball postseason play last night, regional action continuing. 3A Region 2 play last night saw Kemper Catholic advance with a three-game sweep over Greene County. Also, Red Oak swept three from Clarinda last night to move on. In Class 4A Region 2 play last night, it was Lewis Central downing Harlan in three straight. Sergeant Bluff Luton eliminated Carroll three in a row as well. Also in Class 5A Region 2 play, it was Johnston knocking out Thomas Jefferson in three straight games last night. Those winners advancing in postseason tournament play. One down, three to go as the Cleveland Indians attempt to end a 68-year World Series title drought. Corey Kluber combined with Andrew Miller and Cody Allen on a seven-hitter as the Indians blanked the Chicago Cubs 6-0 in Game 1 at Cleveland. Kluber was devastating in the early innings after compiling a .98 earned run average in his three previous postseason starts. He became the first pitcher in postseason history to strike out eight over the first three innings. Kluber finished with nine strikeouts and limited the Cubs to four hits over six-plus innings to pick up the victory. Miller replaced Kluber with a runner on first in the seventh and promptly loaded the bases with nobody out before striking out two of the next three hitters to keep it a 3-0 game. The Indians scratched out a pair of first-inning runs off John Lester as Jose Ramirez poked an infield single with the bases loaded to open up the scoring, one batter before Brandon Guyer was hit by a pitch to bring in the second run. Roberto Perez finished the rest of the scoring with a pair of homers, belting a solo shot off Lester in the fourth and putting the game out of reach with a three-run blast in the eighth. He has three postseason homers after hitting just three the entire regular season. Francisco Lindor went 3-for-4 and started the first-inning rally with a two-out single. Lester took the loss after he was reached for six hits while striking out seven over 5 2/3 innings. Kyle Schwarber was the Cubs' designated hitter in his first game since tearing knee ligaments on April 7th. Schwarber doubled to right in his second at bat. Ben Zobrist had three hits for the Cubs, whose last World Series victory came in Game 6 of the 1945 Fall Classic against Dizzy Trout and the Detroit Tigers. Game 2 is set for tonight in Cleveland, with the start time being moved up 1 hour. It'll be at 6:08 Central Time. That's due to the threat of rain. The Cubs will turn to Jake Arrieta in a bid to send the series back to Chicago, tied at a game apiece. Trevor Bauer will start for the Indians tonight. Also in baseball news, the second phase of Ballpark Village next to Busch Stadium in downtown St. Louis will feature a 29-story luxury apartment building along with office, retail, restaurants, and entertainment space. The St. Louis Cardinals announced the $220 million project yesterday. Construction is expected to start late next year and be completed in 2019. The team is asking the city to amend its current development agreement to add a sales tax within Ballpark Village and to issue bonds for the revenue generated by the project. The first phase of Ballpark Village opened in 2014 and includes restaurants, bars, and the Cardinals Hall of Fame. Well, Northern Iowa football coach Mark Farley has not named Eli Dunn the Panthers' starting quarterback against fourth-ranked North Dakota State yet. The sophomore from Grinnell replaced Aaron Bailey under center and led UNI to a 61-7 victory over Missouri State. In fact, he was named the Missouri Valley and FCS National Offensive Player of the Week.
I'll make that choice as I go on. Seriously, I will, because, you know, Aaron was hurt a little bit too the previous 2 weeks. So it made the decision to play Eli what it was, and we decided that on Monday to play him this week or last week. So I just want to see what North Dakota State does first before I make the choice of what we do, after I get a good handle on what they do offensively, defensively, and special teams.
It would be hard to imagine Farley not turning the offense over to Dunn. His 418 yards of passing was more than the Panthers had for the three previous games combined.
Eli did a great job, plain and simple. He read things nice. He got the ball out on time. Protection was very good. And I thought the receivers did a nice job of you know, being where they belong in the routes they ran. So I was just pleased with the execution phase of it. It had rhythm to it and some smoothness to it, and it got better as the game went on.
North Dakota State is 6-1, and they're the five-time FCS national champions.
I don't see a whole lot of difference. I mean, every year there's a little different player, a little bit different play calling. But all in all, it's the same football team and a very good football team. And, you know, they're just very, they're confident, and their execution is very good. So it's got to be a battle to the last play in any time you play a team like this.
The game will match two of the top three defenses in the Missouri Valley on Saturday up at the Unidome in Cedar Falls. Well, Big 12 Conference Commissioner Bob Bowlsby bristled at the suggestion that without Oklahoma and Texas, the league is akin to the Mountain West. Iowa State Athletic Director Jamie Pollard made that assertion during a radio interview last week, shortly after the Big 12 decided against expansion. Pollard also said the only difference between Iowa State and the schools that wanted into the 10-member league is that the Cyclones are already in. Asked about Pollard's comments at the conference's annual basketball media day Tuesday, Bowlsby tersely replied, "I don't share that vantage point." Some league athletic directors have been critical of the Big 12's expansion process, arguing they should have had a bigger role in the deliberations, while others wonder if the league is built to last. Discussions were conducted at the level of university presidents and chancellors, in some cases career academicians with little background or knowledge of college sports. Now, the league spent 3 months analyzing, vetting, and interviewing possible members before deciding last week to take expansion off their agenda. Bowlsby said it was not a decision not to expand, but rather an endorsement and reinvestment in the 10 that we had. Oklahoma President David Boren said the decision was unanimous and that no school was discussed or voted on during roughly 5 hours of deliberations. Among the 11 schools that sought to join the league were Cincinnati, UConn, Houston, BYU, and Colorado State. The expansion discussions were driven primarily by football because of the massive revenue that comes with the sport, but the Big 12 also generates significant revenue in men's basketball with marquee programs like Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas often on the national stage. Several league coaches said Tuesday that they support the decision to remain at 10 schools. The smaller number allows them to play a double round-robin schedule, and with few weak schools, that means strong RPI numbers when the NCAA tournament rolls around. In NFL news, place kicker Josh Brown has been released by the New York Giants. The club made that decision days after police documents revealed Brown had admitted to repeatedly abusing his former wife while they were married. In a separate statement, Brown said that he had never hit his former wife during the six-year period when he admits spousal abuse. Brown was placed on leave by the NFL last week when the documents were first made public. He missed the Giants' trip to London to face the Rams. Brown was not charged by local authorities in the case in Washington State. Jay Cutler will be back under center for the Chicago Bears against Minnesota on Monday. Cutler was out 5 weeks with a sprained thumb suffered September 19th. He was replaced by Brian Hoyer, who was placed on injured reserve after breaking his left arm in Sunday's loss. The Broncos have acquired tight end A.J. Derby from New England for a fifth-round draft pick in 2017. Broncos tight ends have combined for 17 catches for 183 yards and a touchdown this season. Derby had 15 receptions for 189 yards and a TD in the preseason. Authorities say a fan has died after falling 60 feet at the Denver Broncos stadium. Denver police say 36-year-old Jason Coy was sitting on a railing when he fell following Monday's 27-9 win over Houston. In basketball news, Oklahoma's wild ride to the Final Four last spring was fueled by Buddy Hield's shooting, Isaiah Cousins' court vision, and Ryan Spangler's power in the post. All of them are gone this season, and the turnover isn't limited to the Sooners either. Of all the leagues playing major college basketball, perhaps none will have a fresher look this season than the Big 12. The old guard that became household names, George Niang at Iowa State, Devin Williams at West Virginia, and Perry Ellis at Kansas, either graduated or left school early, leaving in their wake dozens of starting jobs at schools across the league. Sooners coach Lon Kruger said, "Given the number of seniors we had graduate last year, a lot of new roles and minutes are available. It's not great to be young in any league, the Big 12 especially." Indeed, looking at the all-Big 12 teams of a year ago, it's likely to make some fans feel nostalgic, especially when you consider that the entire first team and 11 of the 15 players overall are gone. That includes Heald, Niang, and Ellis, who were joined on the first team by Texas guard Isaiah Taylor and Baylor forward Torian Prince. Williams and Kansas guard Wayne Selden Jr. left school after their junior years, while Cousins and Spangler joined the Mountaineers' Jayshon Page and big man Rico Gathers of Baylor in using up their eligibility. That's a look at sports this hour, brought to you by McAtee Tire and Service Center, your Goodyear dealer in Atlantic. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.